Our passage this morning will come from the final chapter of 2 Peter, the final verses, verses 14 through 18. The reading of God's holy word. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found in him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, and as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we come to this final paragraphs of our this letter of 2 Peter. We've come through three chapters, reminders at the front, false teachers and their ways in the middle, and encouragement to be wary, to be mindful, to remain in the Word of God, to remember the prophecies, the holy prophets, the predictions, and the commandment of our Lord through the apostles. And then combating the false teaching that their Christ isn't coming and that there will be no judgment. Peter assures us that Christ most certainly is coming, and that there most certainly will be a judgment when he comes. And not to lose sight of that. And even deals with what seems to be a main issue right here at the end, the main issue that is causing so much temptation to stray from the Word of God, such temptation to doubt God, to doubt his promises that Christ will return, that there will be a final judgment, there will be a final glorification of his people. It's this issue of waiting that seems to dominate this last section of the passage here in chapter 3 of this letter. And he's already addressed it somewhat. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday. Since all of these things, this the world that we live in now, the heavens, the earth, everything on it is going to be dissolved and exposed for what it is. You know, what sort of people ought we to live in lives of holiness and godliness, Peter says. And he ends by telling us, we know these things are coming. But for us, for Christians, there's something more to look forward to. A new heavens, a new earth, where righteousness dwells. And that's where our passage kind of picks up. You have to see that in the last passage there in verse 13. In order to understand what Peter says in this beginning of this passage, therefore, beloved, since you are awaiting these things, these events promised by God to happen in history, that he requires us to wait for. It's these things that Peter is confident to say, since you all are waiting for these things that God has promised, And so this whole emphasis on waiting here, and it's one of the greatest temptations that any of us will ever face in this life, is the temptation to doubt God. And that seems to come, it seems to happen and tempt us the most when God requires us to wait. That's the whole premise of this entire letter. False teachers are leading Christians astray because they're waiting. They're having to wait. They're being persecuted. And they're having to wait through it for the fulfillment of the promises of God. And it's so very tempting. It warrants a letter from the apostle. Among the most common traits of fallen humanity, I would have to say that not liking to wait has to be among the top of our fallen traits. The dislike of waiting is something that we're clearly born with. Our infants in the congregation remind us of that sometimes. We're just born with that. They make it clear they don't like to wait. Is dislike of waiting just an infantile thing that we simply grow out of? I'd argue on the contrary that this dislike of waiting seems to be something that grows worse with age and the ability to do things ourselves, to get things for ourselves. I would argue that it grows worse. Because we're beholden, as fallen creatures, we're beholden to our sinful nature and the desires of our flesh. We don't want to wait for anything. We want what we want it now, and we're willing to sacrifice just about everything in order to get it. If we can. Family. And think of our culture as I mentioned these things. Family. Used to be a debate about abortion in our culture, but now people don't no longer debate it. It's demanded as a right. We're willing to abandon to sacrifice family. We're willing to sacrifice church. We're willing to sacrifice even our nation to get what we want. Burn it down, I believe is the mantra. No longer does the process of sanctification and growing out of our sins, it's not even a thing anymore. Burn it down. When God's timing doesn't align with ours, rather than wait, we doubt God and compromise with the world in an effort to get what we want by ourselves. That's the pattern of fallen humanity. And sad to say, it's also something Christians struggle with as well. It was this very temptation that led to the fall of Adam and Eve, which plunged humanity into sin and ruin in the first place. And it's the very same temptation that our Lord Jesus Christ endured and overcame every day of his life on this earth. All the way from his conception to the cross, he endured and overcame it to save his people from their sins, from this sin, this original sin, and every actual sin that they had and would ever commit throughout their lives. One sacrifice, once for all. For even though God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, even though He's done that, even though we are in Christ, even though He has granted us His precious and very great promises, all of them in Christ, even though He has done that, even though we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we remain susceptible to the temptation of doubting God. Especially when He requires of us to wait. And if necessary, even to suffer various trials. The Apostle Paul provides us some insight into why those of us who are in Christ continue to struggle with this temptation to doubt God, and why we will continue throughout our lives in this world to struggle with that temptation. And he does this when he describes his own and every other believer's inevitable experience of being a Christian, of being in Christ in this world. Where he says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Realizing this about himself as a Christian in Christ, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Before giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And concluding, "So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." You see, the reason, says Paul, that we who are in Christ continue to struggle with temptation to doubt God is because even though we are in Christ, we remain in this body of death. This body of death. And we struggle with the desires of our flesh. We struggle with the desires of our flesh to serve the law of sin rather than the law of God, which can truly be a despairing feeling. At times, even for sinners who are in Christ, until we remember or are reminded, as Paul was, to give thanks to God. To give thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has and will deliver us from this body of death. It was this very reality that Peter intended to remind his readers of in this second letter. In this second letter, that they would not lose sight of the gospel proclaimed by the holy prophets and the apostles, and get carried away with the error of lawless people, nor with their own doubts, and lose their stability in Christ. But would continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and remain effective and fruitful in the knowledge of Him as they waited. As Paul explains a little later on in Romans 8, you who are in Christ are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. In other words, though we remain in this body of death and struggle with its desire to serve the law of sin, the same cannot be said of our innermost person. What Paul refers to as his mind. The same cannot be said for that. For that part of us if we are in Christ, serves the law of God. If we are in Christ, Paul continues, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Not the righteousness of wretched sinners, as we are, but the righteousness given to us through Christ. Although the body is dead, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The righteousness given to us by God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has and will deliver us from this body of death in time. Right now, He requires of us to wait. For we not only await a new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness will dwell, but we also await new resurrected bodies. Immortal bodies. To dwell in righteousness. And yet for now, according to God's good plan and His good purpose for the redemption of all of His people, He requires us to wait. But not idly, and not without purpose. He is not slow, remember, to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness. It's not just an idle wait for nothing. He is patient towards us, not wishing that any should perish. You see, we have work to do in the not perishing of others, maybe even of ourselves, while we wait. As Peter put in his first letter, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. At His return, you understand. For this very reason, says Peter in chapter 1 of this letter, because God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, He has granted us His precious and great promises, we are to make every effort to supplement our faith while we wait. And to be all the more diligent to confirm our calling and election while we wait. And Peter repeats this again here in our text at the end of this letter in verse 14, the beginning of our passage. Beloved, since you are waiting a new heavens, a new earth, a new body, be diligent to be found in Him, in Christ, without spot or blemish, and at peace. The fruits of a tested, genuine faith, you understand, more precious than gold or anything else this world has to offer. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation. So we move from repentance to salvation. The work that we are to be involved in as we wait here. And this is where Peter brings in the Apostle Paul. He says, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters, the matters of waiting and being diligent as we wait and of counting the Lord's patience as salvation. So, Peter and Paul are in agreement here. We just learned from Paul why we struggle, the difficulties we face, even in Christ, because of the weakness of our flesh. We also know the key to overcoming those. It's not in us. It's not in trying harder. It's in remembering to give thanks to God through Jesus Christ, the only one who delivers us from all of these things. If you set out to try harder, you'll just become a legalist. And eventually you'll try so hard and keep failing that you will cry out, "Wretched sinner, who will deliver me?" And you will just abandon Christianity altogether for lawlessness. Because you cannot save yourselves. But man, what can you do giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ? What sort of people ought you to be with lives of holiness and godliness? You've been given everything, all things necessary for holiness and godliness in this life. In Jesus Christ. This wisdom that Paul speaks of, it's a wisdom given to Paul, you understand. He recognizes it himself. In fact, all the earthly wisdom that he had before, he counts as rubbish just to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. But it's a wisdom that Paul has been given through the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which enabled him to live out and to proclaim, "Not that I have already obtained this," speaking of the resurrection, a resurrection body. "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." Why? Because Jesus Christ has made me his own. He's not perfect. He's a wretched sinner. But Jesus has made him his own. And he knows that, and he gives thanks to God for it. And he presses on, listen, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead, I press on to the upward call, the prize of God in Christ Jesus." Even as he waited for deliverance in a prison in Rome. That's where he wrote that from. Even struggling with his own temptations to doubt, even struggling with suffering, everything he suffered, we remember Acts, everything that he suffered coming up to the point where he was placed in a Roman prison to await trial. That's where he waits, and he writes this thing. Because looking upon his life and everything, every mistake he's ever had, every sin he's ever committed, every doubt that has led him to sin, he gives thanks to God through Jesus Christ for delivering him. See, if you believe in Christ, it is because you are in Christ. You don't believe in Christ to get into Christ. If you believe in him, you are in Christ. You can't have Christ apart from his blessings. You have to be in him, you understand, to believe. And that is a gift of God. by grace, through faith, not of your own doing, not of works, but of God. So if you believe in Christ, is it because you are in Christ? Give thanks to God. He's delivered you already. Give thanks to God. God's divine power has granted to you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Granted to you His precious promises. The gospel promises. Forgiveness of sins, being set free from the law and everlasting life. Being set free from the law for salvation, not as a rule of life. And yet, you should not be surprised that it requires of you to wait. There's so much that needs to be done here. There is so much light and salt that needs to be spread around. And He requires of you to wait, but not without purpose. But so that you would be diligent to grow. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that not by legalistically relying on yourself to do these things, nor by lawlessly abandoning yourself, claiming that you have already achieved these things, but rather by remembering the prediction of your holy prophets and the commandments of your Lord through His apostles. Remembering the gospel. Giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ, who has delivered you and will deliver you. And there's no excuses. You've heard the saying, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. There's no excuse for any one of us, not to be making diligent use of the means of grace that God has given us. There's just no excuse. Because are we not forewarned? Peter tells us himself, knowing beforehand that there will be things that are hard to understand, that there will be false teachers who rise up among you, that there will be ignorant and unstable people who twist the scriptures to their own destruction, that even you will struggle with temptation and doubt, that even you will need to learn to count the patience of the Lord as salvation. To take care so as not to be carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. By forgetting to give thanks to God. By trying to step out and do it yourself. By waiting idly and doing nothing. You know these things beforehand. You do. You've been warned. You've been told. Does that change anything about what we are to do here and now? No. You've just been forearmed to deal with them. Knowing all of this beforehand, as you wait, give thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has and will deliver you. Be diligent to be found in Him without spot or blemish and at peace. At peace. And avail yourself of every single opportunity to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every opportunity, every one of these things that Peter has forewarned you about, take the opportunity to grow. In the grace and the foreknowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving thanks for every one of them, in every one of them, to God through Jesus Christ for delivering you. This waiting, you see, is it may be a necessary part of life in Christ. It's a necessary part for everybody, but it's also for us in Christ. But for us, it's not idle. For us, it is a time to be effective and fruitful, with great things to look forward to. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you so much for being who you are, for revealing yourself to us, for giving us your great and precious promises. And Lord, for being so patient and merciful and gracious to us as to even after all that you have showered and poured upon us, you continue. You will not let us go. You are as steadfast in faithfulness and love as you have ever been. The people whose names you have written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world, not one will be lost. You will not allow it. You have decreed it. You have told us as much in Christ, through Christ, your Son. And you have accomplished it in Him. And so, Father, we thank you for your great promises. We thank you for, Lord, showing us and teaching us through all the things that you cause us to wait through, that your promises are sure and certain, that Christ has delivered us and he will deliver us. So, Father, protect us and keep us from looking to ourselves to get what we want. Protect us from being led astray and in despair by easy solutions that offer us ways out, promising to give us what we most desire. Father, what we most desire is you. Truly, you and your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have everything and so much more. So, Father, bless us, we ask, with this protection, this knowledge, this forewarning. Help us to be forearmed as we wait. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.